This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Zion, on page 33. Talmud Yud Zayin, page 33, where we discuss the fact that through developing this feel of closeness to the Shechino, a person can get to the level Ki'ilu Ashechino Imo V'Amalochim Mischabrim Imi Bekeach, as if the Shechino is with him and the Malochim are attached to him, certainly in potential. And if he will be consistent and continue in his chasidus, and he finds himself in a place fit for the Shechino to be present, then in actuality the Shechino and the Malochim attach themselves to him, and he is able to see the Malochim and to relate to the Shechino eye to eye, one level lower than the Nevuah, which is very much along the lines of that Gemara that we learnt the evening before last, or yesterday morning it was, wasn't it, in Shul, in Sanhedrin, with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yeshua ben Rabbi Shemashim ben Yochai, with the Shechina present, and Eliyahu Hanavi present, and the discussions are taking place, and he heard the Shechina, but he couldn't see the Shechina. That was a normal occurrence for people who are on that level. Kasher ayutuve achachomim bevayisheni roim hatsurois v'shomim basko, as the great chachomim of the time of the second bayis used to see forms and hear basko. V'hi madregas achasidim, and that's the actual madrega of a chosid, of a true chosid. Ulamala mimeno madregas hanavim. And above that madrega is the madrega of the prophets. Nevuah comes down. This is one step below. This is Ruach HaKodesh, which is one step below the level of Nevuah. But it's all a natural consequence that the chosid can build himself up to using the mechanisms of the Torah mitzvah, just living a life of chasidus as the Kuzari has described it. And thinking about it, as he said at the bottom of the previous Omud, thinking about this in all his movements, then he finds himself already coming into the situation. V'yikabel ha-chosid mikovid ha-inyon ha-eloki ha-nimtza imo ma-shiroi l'kabel ha-eved ma-adoinov she-bero'oi ve-hitiv lo'i v'u-tzoifeyu l'gom lo'i l'onshoi. And the chosid accepts or receives from the Ribbono Shel Olam, from this closeness with the Shechino that he finds himself with, as a slave would receive from his master, who has created him and done goodness to him, and looks towards him to respond to him. So the chosid, the responsiveness of the Ribbono Shel Olam to the chosid is immediate, and he feels it very, very intimately and intensely. And therefore it shouldn't be surprising to you that which you'll sometimes see a chosid muttering before he goes into the toilet. He says, "Kabdu mechubodim kadoshim mekovod Shechino." He addresses the angels that are accompanying him, and he says, "You wait outside. I'm going into a place now which is not fit for you to come with me." And he goes into the Beis HaKisei on his own. We don't say that anymore because we consider it arrogant. We consider it yuro to say that, to imply that we're all on that level. But the Chasid Elyon, the great people, said that, and it was a matter of course. And they were in reality, they really were addressing the Malachim that were with them. And his thanksgiving when he comes out from the Beis HaKisei, Bevirkas Asher Yotza Resodom B'Chochma, where he says the Brocha of Asher Yotza. V'chama Gedoylo HaBrocha HaZois B'inyono, and how great is this Brocha in its concepts. V'chama Mitzukenes Miloiseho L'Mishu Mistakel B'Hen B'Ein HaEmes, and how correct and perfect are its words, the terms that are used, if one analyzes this bracha in truth. Shehikdim tchilo b'chokhma. We start off praising the Ribbono Shel Olam with the wisdom of his creation. V'chosein b'roifeichel bosur mafli lasus. And it ends with the bracha of the Ribbono Shel Olam who heals all flesh and does wonders with the human body. And that bracha alerts one to the immensity, to the greatness of the human body. As somebody was commenting to me yesterday about the, you know, this computer system that they've worked out with the various different combinations and of letters in the Torah. They've worked out that if you work on different progressions, you get different words and terms and all sorts of amazing things that they've been able to computerize in the Torah. And the Maaseh hasn't had much effect. It's very, one would think that such a thing would be a world change. They thought that it would bring Mashiach. They thought this would convert the whole world to Yiddishkeit. There's no. What can you say after that? After you've seen them, they've tried it in all sorts of other books. They've tried it with the Quran. They've tried it with Shakespeare. They've tried it with the New Testament. It doesn't work. It's only with the Torah that it works consistently, right through the whole Torah. So there's just no better proof of Torah min Hashemayim. What human being could possibly have created, even with computers, would be impossible to create it. Certainly, long before the time of computers, to create all these progressions and interlinking meanings and suggestions, it's quite amazing. But it really hasn't had an effect. They've given these lectures all over the world with the slides and the programs, and they've published books and so on, and people have gotten very excited, but it hasn't changed anybody. And they can't understand why it hasn't changed anybody. And I was asked yesterday, and I answered very simply, if this doesn't change anybody, is that more wonderful than the human body? Is there more indication of the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence in the computerization of the Torah than there is in the understanding of the human body, of the brain, of the solar system, of cell structure, of nuclear physics? Is this more wonderful than that? And you see that this doesn't change people. Is there any shaila that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world? There's no shaila at all. Who else could have done it with all this wisdom and with all this brilliance? And yet that doesn't change people. You get great scientists who are intellectually phased out by the miracles of the creation, and they don't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So you see, there is no connection whatever between intellectual amazement at what can only be the creation of Hashem and the next level, which is translating that into emunah. There's absolutely no linkage. One can be intellectually completely taken with it, and it doesn't do anything to one. And that's where it goes wrong. That's what the Kuzari is warning us against yet. When we say that bracha, just to hear what it says, to understand what it says, to translate the wonders of the Brio into a feeling of emunah. We have all these things at our fingertips. People sometimes say, how do you develop emunah? How do you strengthen your emunah? It's all around. All you have to do is notice, Poshut. All you have to do is be aware. What question is there? What shaila is there? You've just got to feel it. And one of the opportunities of feeling it is every time one comes out of the bathroom. That's an opportunity of feeling it. One feels it a little bit if one goes into a hospital, either to visit or chas v'sholom, if one comes out of an illness oneself. And the worse the experience, the more one feels, at least for a brief period, the chesed of the boire. Going to the Beis HaKisa is meant to be the same kind of experience repeated over and over and over again. The body working normally. Most of the time we're not aware of the body working normally. It just goes on and it does its thing and we're not conscious of it. So a couple of times a day the Ribbono Shel Olam says, stop and think and see. And what would happen if it didn't work normally? You just take it for granted. Oh, we come out and we say a wonderful bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Yotzer Es Adam B'Chochma, Uvarim Nekovim Nekovim. We go to this whole bracha. If one says that bracha properly and with understanding, when one comes out of the Beis HaKisa, that's the source of emunah. One doesn't need any computerization of the Torah. There you've got it, the computerization of the body. What more do you need than that? And that's the wonder of that bracha which is pointing to.
Too fast. I can't see anybody speaking so quickly with the next person comprehending and feeling what you're trying to tell them or explain to them.
My answer.
When you're addressing people, this expression, your movements and your action, if you spoke any faster and you didn't use your arms or hands within the case, you wouldn't understand what you're talking about. I said, it isn't battle, but that's besides the point. I mean, it's the same thing there with the village. And you explain to me because I'm asking.
Mr. Shim, Tuesday night I'm explaining that. You won't be here Tuesday night, but after I've done it in shul, I'll explain it to you. It's the subject of my drosha on Tuesday night in this session. Yeah, but one has to balance a lot of things off. So then you can have a long davening, but you won't learn the kuzari. So if you didn't learn the kuzari, then the long davening doesn't help you because you don't know what to do with the long davening. So then we can.
10 minutes
won't be enough to daven the way you want us to daven, which is the right way to daven. Is not 10 minutes. That's it's not half an hour either, because it's not just halal, it's the brochas and it's psukei dezimra, and it's the brochas before the shema, and it's the shema, and it's the brochas after the shema. It's a good 5 or 10 minute shemona esra. We're living in a life where we're trying to do a lot of things as best we can, and it's a matter of balancing things off. But what you're saying is right, but it's a question of practicality. We should have 2 minyonim. The minyanim for the people who are in a hurry, and the minyanim for the people who aren't, who can manage. Sorry? The batlonim.
Sorry.
Lomad alimed al pliyus mashaboro b'chayim ma'akoychus adoychim v'amachzikim. One stands and wonders at the powers that the koychus the Ribbono Shel'olam puts into life, that move us, that preserve us and move us. Uchlal kol ha'chayim b'omro kol boso. And we're not only talking about ourselves and our own bodies, but we're talking about life altogether, the life in everything which exists in the Bria. V'koysher matzpunoi b'inyan ha'eloki b'tachbulois. And he attaches his consciousness to the godly concept using all sorts of skills. Mehem mitzvahs kesuvos, some of the written mitzvahs, the formal mitzvahs. Umehem mekubolos, and some of the mitzvahs derabonim. V'hu noisei ha-tefillin al mochim ha-machshovo va-zikorin maharosh. And he bears his tefillin on the seat of intellect, that's the head, and memory, that's the head. And he extends a strap all the way down his hand. So by the way, the Kuzri is describing the tefillin, you're already understanding something of the concept of the tefillin, as if it's all one long thing, starting at the head and extending all the way down to the hand. So that he sees it at all times. Don't forget, they used to wear tefillin all day. See, Mr. Sider, it's the right thing to do, to wear tefillin all day. We can't do it, we're not on that madrega either. Utfilin shel yad al mavoya hakoychus, return of my halev, and the tfilin shel yad we place at the seat of the passions and the powers, that's the heart. V'noise hatzitzis, and he wears tzitzis kadei shelo yatridu chushov ba'olam, so that his senses don't distract him at all. Chumash omar v'loise surach le'levavchem v'achrei enechem, as it says in the parsha of tzitzis, in order that you do not deviate after your hearts and your eyes. So you see, tzitzis is the takona, that if one wears one tzitzis properly and with the right understanding, with the right intention, then one finds that these things don't distract. V'hakosuv b'tfilin ha'yichud v'hagmul v'ha'inish v'zechi yetzias mitzrayim. And what is written in the tfilin? That also one has to bear in mind and remember. Written in the tfilin is the yichud Hashem, Shema, Gemul v'oinesh, reward and punishment is in the tefillin. Zeichi yetzias mitzrayim is in the tefillin. That's what has to be on our minds all the time. B'pnei shehi taino she'in bo madche, because these are things that there's no argument about, there's no discussion about it. These are absolute axioms on which everything we do has to be based. Ki le'inyon ha'eloki hischabrus bivruim v'ashgocho aleihim v'yediya b'maaseihim, because this part of the godly concept, the fact that Hashem is attached to us, to the creation, and that he cares and is mashgiach on them, he takes care of them and watches them and knows what they're doing. That's what we mean when we think of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't think of the Ribbono Shel Olam as a detached being. We think of the Ribbono Shel Olam as an involved being. As separate as he is, and as eternal and as infinite as he is, still we think of him as attached and involved with us. And that's the purpose of the tefillin, to feel that involvement of the Ribbono Shel Olam in our minds, in our hearts, in our hands, in everything that we do, in everything that we think, in everything that we say. Then things start developing through the day with all his feelings, and he associates a part of those feelings to the Ribbono Shel Olam. In everything that he does, there's a little bit of it for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Uchva ki balnu ki yama ad she bishurim asher yetzei ha-Yisraeli bohem yedei chovosoim mayash tishbochus. And we've already established that the minimum quantity that a Jewish person can be yotzei is chiyuv to praise the Ribbono Shel Olam during the day. Hem mea brochus loipochus mehem hamefursomus. And that's 100 brochus, no less, of the well-known brochus. There are other brochus too, as he's about to say, but the 100 of the regular brochus are instituted. That's the minimum that a Jew has to say every day, and a brocha has to be said like a brocha. And after you've done the mefursomus, the regular standard brochus, one tries to complete that number of 100 on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur, days where we don't have the 100 instituted in the tefillahs and so on. We make that 100 up using the brocha for reyach, u'ma'acholim, or for food, u'shmuyas. We make the brocha for good news, for bad news, u'maris, things that we see, new blossoms, the sea, all sorts of wonderful things. Yevorech aleim, we make brochas to reach this minimum quantity of 100 brochas a day. V'chol asher yosif yeh tosefes mekareves el ha'elokim, and the more brochas one says, the more one comes closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. David, as David says, "Pi yisaper tzidkosecho kol hayoyim teshuoscho, ki lo yodati sefurois." My mouth tells of your righteousness all the day. Is my craving for you, or your salvation of me, ki lo yodati sefurois, because I don't know to count them. I don't know limitations in these things. It's a continuous process. Rotei loyimo, that means to say, ki shivochecho lo yechalelu aminyan, that praising you can't be counted. There's no end to it. It's all the time. I accept it upon myself all of my days, continuously I'm involved in the praising of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's part of what the Chosid does. In everything he sees, in everything he experiences, in everything he feels, there's praise for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then there's Avo and Yiro. All this comes part of one, if one's living the way I've described, says the Kuzari. But the important thing is, if one's avo and yiro is a consequence of the halacha, of the observance of halacha which I've described, then the proportions are right. And here we come to a very important element. It's all very well being religious, and this is an area where you can imagine the Kuzari has been concerned, because he, the king of the Kuzars, because he's been examining all over, and everybody knows that there has to be a love of God. Every religion knows that. Every religion knows that there has to be a fear of God. But what about the proportions? How much love? How much fear? Where does happiness come in? Where does simcha come in? Where does yiro come in? How do you balance it all? Says the Kuzari, if this all comes as a result of the shmiras halacha which I've discussed, then it automatically comes in the right balances. So the Shabbos and Yom Tov doesn't become a time of laughter and taiva and passions and wasting of time. You can say that's all Simcha Shabbos, that's what Shabbos is. Wasting the time away, messing up the time, destroying the whole Shabbos, and thinking that that's Taka Shabbos. And that results in one not davening at the right times. One's so busy with Simcha Shabbos and Yom Tov that one doesn't make it in time to the davening. Oh, Simcha Shabbos, but it's wrong. And on the other hand, that Yiro doesn't become so intense that it brings one to despair from tshuva, from forgiveness. V'yishoye doye kol yomov, and he goes around with his black cloud all his days. V'yavir kol mash yotzov ha'abayri me'asimcho b'mashich ononu. And he's over every moment of not feeling the simcho which Hashem has told us to feel in everything he's given us. So we've got such opposite things we have to feel. On the one hand, there has to be this continuous yiro, and at the very same time, we're told to feel simcho at all times. K'mishoma v'somachto b'chol ha'toyva sh'nosun l'cho Hashem alikechu. You've got to feel the simcha and all the good which Hashem has given you. And as a result of this lack of simcha, because he's full of yiro, so he thinks he's very frum, he's walking around with his black cloud of yiro, as a result of that, he reduces his feeling, he diminishes his feeling of gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He doesn't appreciate the good things he's got. Because praise goes with joy. If there's no joy, there can be no shvach. There has to be the simcha in order for there to be the shvach, and we've just seen the scene that David HaMelech says, "I've got to be mishabeach the Ribbono Shel Olam all the time, every day, all day," which means I've got to have simcha all the time. So what do I do with yiro? And then you'll fall into the klolo, into the curse, where Hashem says, since you have not served Hashem with simcha and with good heart, the punishment for that is you'll serve your enemies. And if one comes to all this correctly through Limud HaTorah and through the observance of the mitzvahs properly, through that one comes to the emotions of Torah, then the emotions are balanced. This is a critical piece of Kuzri. What the Kuzri is saying here is the emotions have to be developed from the halacha, not the halacha from the emotions. And that sounds a simple thing, but it isn't a simple thing at all. That's terribly important. And this probably was one of the fundamental issues of the machlokes between the Vilna Gaon at the time and the rise of Hasidus. Because the Baal Shem Tov saw a nation afflicted with oppression and depression. And his feeling was that there has to be an elevation of these people in order to bring them to Torah. Where's their simcha? Where's their shvach? Where's everything? You can't have a nation so depressed. And these were people who the Baal Shem Tov felt were not shaykh to live with that Torah. They weren't on the level of being able to become Talmidei Chachomim. So he took a direct approach, not through the Shmiras Halacha, but rather through direct approaches of elation and elevation, hoping to bring them later on to Shmiras Halacha, which he did. So what's the Vilna Gaon's big taina? And then the Hasidim say, had the Vilna Gaon seen the results, he would have been satisfied. That's not so. The Vilna Gaon's worry was not that they wouldn't come to mitzvahs. That's not what he was worried about. What the Vilna Gaon was worried about was that the simcha and the mitzvahs go in different directions. That the simcha is independent, and the mitzvahs are independent. And that it's not the emotions being derived from the halacha, but it's the halacha being derived from the emotions. And that one has to be terribly careful with. As the Kuzri says, then you get imbalance. Then you find that the emotions, how do you know that it's the correct proportion of emotions? It's the right amount of yiro, the right amount of simcha. How do you govern it? How do you control it? The Kuzri shita is that there's only one way. And that is these emotions have to come out of the chassidus, out of the shmiras ha'alocha, out of the limud ha'torah. There the emotions are developed, and they're developed in just the right proportions, because the proportions of the shmiras ha'alocha are correct. And that the importance of kino, that one has to be aggressive a little bit. When must one be aggressive? If somebody does wrong, you've got to tell them. When you're learning, you've got to be a little aggressive. How do you make sure that that doesn't bring you lidei hakas vanatiro, that it doesn't make you an angry, aggressive person, and one who takes it out on others? V'sitored nafshoi meizdakchus v'itus atfilus. And then he finds himself unable to purify himself while he's davening. His heart is full of aggression and anger, and he thinks it's all the shame shemayim, and he can't daven properly as a result of that. V'yashiv b'libi tziduk hadin, but a chosid is able to settle in his mind tziduk hadin, the righteousness of Hashem. Yoshuv shiyeloi lemagin ulemistu me'apagoyim batzoros ahavis bo'ilom. Yishuv shiyeloi lemagin, a settledness which is a protection for him and a hiding place for him from the tragedies and the troubles which occur during the world. Kishi yisyashiv benafshoi, when it settles in his mind and in his heart, tzedek boirei hachayim, the righteousness of the creator of life, umatzvifom umanhigom bechochmosoi, and that he provides for them and leads them in his wisdom. No. The tziduk hadin goes back to the general theme. He's saying that the aggression, if one, the question is, does one develop one's aggression from the halacha, or does one develop, or does one practice the halacha as a result of one's aggression? So, for example, you see somebody doing wrong. What is the emotional dynamics? Do you say to yourself, "It's doing wrong, I have a responsibility towards him. What is my responsibility? To communicate to him what he's doing wrong." And I'm not going to be able to communicate that if I'm smiling. He's got to realize that this is something very serious. So I need to get angry. So then he gets himself a little angry about it, and then he does the teichocho. That's the one dynamic. The other dynamic is he's doing wrong. Ah! This is terrible! Terrible! What a fellow! I must tell him immediately. What's that? That's the anger he's causing the teichocho. The difference is that the first man, once he's told him off, says, "Shoo, Baruch Hashem, that's over. That was unpleasant. That was terrible, but at least he took it well, and it's over, and now I can concentrate on my davening again. And the other one, when he gets to the davening, he is still koching, and the koching goes on and on and on. Why? Because the whole thing started with the emotion. That's what the Kuzri is saying. The Chosid develops all his emotions from his Shmiras Halacha, from his balanced understanding of the Torah, the principles of Torah and practice of those principles. From that, there cooks up all the emotions which he's supposed to feel. And then those emotions are balanced emotions. They're righteous emotions. And one such emotion is the emotion of the Yishuv Belibo Tzidu Kadin. To have that settled feeling of the Ribbono Shel Olam Mizorah. That's one of the halachic emotions which you have to have before the tragedy comes. Leave it there.